phrasal verbs. Phrasal verbs. I can't stand phrasal verbs. Ah.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. My name's Craig.
And my name's Reza.
And we welcome you to this award-winning podcast, which will improve your English and take it to the next level. With over 40 years of teaching experience between us, Reza and I will help smooth your way to growing your grammar, vocalizing your vocabulary, and perfecting your pronunciation. This week, we're speaking about phrasal verbs and presenting you with 20 phrasal verbs we feel you should know. But before that, we'd like to say thank you to everyone who is supporting us on Patreon. Reza, why don't you tell the listeners a few things about our Patreon campaign?
Well, Patreon is our website, which Inglés Podcast is linked to, where you can, if you like, donate money to us. There's no obligation. It's entirely voluntary. But we have a reason for using Patreon. We want to be able to collect enough money to be able to pay someone to transcribe every word of each episode of our podcast. We've calculated that we need about $100 a month to pay someone to transcribe every single word. Craig and I just don't have enough time to do it. It takes a very long time to transcribe every single word, and we can't do it. So if you could donate a dollar or two per month to us, we would use that money to pay someone to transcribe. If you're interested, go to www.patreon.com/Inglés Podcast. And we'd like to thank our sponsors, who are Juan Leva Galera, Daniel Contreras Aladro, Lara Arlem, Agudelo Armando, Sara Jarabo, Manuel Tarazoma, and Corey Finneran from Ivy Envy. Thank you very much to those Patreon sponsors, and we hope that a few more of you might be able to join them. Now, in this episode, we'll be talking about 20 phrasal verbs that we really think you should know. They're indispensable. They're very, 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 very useful.
Yes, and the idea for this episode came from Flor from Colombia, who asked us this question. Thank you, Flor.
Hello, my name is Flor. I am from Colombia, and I want to thank you to all of you for making this amazing podcast for all those people who really need to improve and practice and learn more about English pronunciation and about grammar. And I like to ask you about if you could teach phrasal verbs, because those are many phrasal verbs, and I like to learn about others different to the usual phrasal verbs. Thank you so much, and ciao from Colombia.
We've spoken about phrasal verbs in the past. If you go back to our very first episodes, Reza and I looked at two or three popular phrasal verbs every episode. And we concentrated with a friend of ours, Marie, on phrasal verbs in episode 54. And we gave a deep dive. We really went deep, muy profundo, into phrasal verbs with Marie. So if you'd like to listen to that, go to inglespodcast.com/54. Now, you can learn phrasal verbs in several ways. You could group the phrasal verbs with the same main verb. For example, you group together phrasal verbs with take. So take on, take after, take away, take over, etc. Or you could group the phrasal verbs by particle. So you could have take off, put off, give off, get off. So you're grouping the phrasal verbs with off, with the particle.
If you're interested in that type of way of grouping phrasal verbs, you can't get any better than Mike Harding's CD, Get Ahead with Phrasal Verbs. That's exactly the type of thing Mike goes into better than anyone else I've ever known in great detail. So Mike Harding's the man for that.
And if you'd like a link to Mike Harding's material, his webpage and his CD, I'll put a link in the show notes at inglespodcast.com/98. Now, you can also group phrasal verbs by area or topic. So you could have all the phrasal verbs connected to clothes and fashion, for example. Phrasal verbs like to take off, take something off, put something on, try something on, get into something if it's your size, or go with. So we'll be doing that in future podcasts. We'll be grouping phrasal verbs in topic areas or vocabulary groups. However, today we're going to look at 20 very popular phrasal verbs that we think you should know at this level. So number one, give up. You could say in Spanish, darse por vencido or dejar de. For example, have you given up anything recently, Reza? Have you stopped doing anything or stopped eating anything particular?
No, sadly I haven't.
Should you?
I probably should.
Did you stop doing anything at the beginning of the year? Or
no.
No?
No. And many people, though, give things up for Lent, Quaresma. Have you ever given anything up for Lent?
Never. Not once. I mean, I have given up bread recently on a temporary basis because I'm on a diet. So I've given up eating so much bread. That's one thing I've given up. One way to remember this phrasal verb, which is very common, to give up something or give something up, if you try to create a picture or imagen in your mind of taking something like cigarettes or alcohol or bread or chocolate or cakes or anything you want to give up and just put it up high on the top shelf, for example, in el estante más arriba. So you're the up is high, so you're giving up, you're putting on the top shelf. And this image of up, something that you're not going to drink or eat, will help you hopefully to remember give up, the phrasal verb. So the idea here is to create a picture and by association remember the phrasal verb. What's the second one?
Another very common phrasal verb with up is grow up. Grow up. People grow up.
Crecer.
That means they start as children and they become adults. They grow up. Plants don't. Plants grow. No up there. So plants grow, but people grow up. Craig, where did you grow up?
I grew up. Past of grow is grew. I grew up in a suburb of London. I grew up in a place called Ilford in Essex. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Belfast in Ireland.
Again, this idea of creating an image, if you imagine up, obviously grow, plants grow, trees grow, flowers grow. But if you imagine the up as increasing in height, if you remember when some children are very young, their mother or father marks the doorpost with a pencil or a line, and then every year you can see the children growing up, increasing in height. Try and associate the up with getting taller, becoming taller, and that's your image for growing up. Go on is number three, to go on, which in Spanish could be partir or salir. For example, to go on holiday or to go on a trip. Are you going on a trip soon, Reza?
Yes, I am. I'm going to visit my good friend and who has appeared in our podcast, Becky, in Cornwall very soon.
Very nice.
Do you remember Becky?
I do, very fondly. Please say hello for me. Hi, Becky, if you're listening. She probably isn't.
Can we put in a link to her episode?
Yes, we'll put a link to Becky's episode in the show notes. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Craig? Where are you going?
I'm going on, well, there's an expression to go on a business trip. It's not exactly a business trip, but I'm going on a work trip to Birmingham in April. So I'm going on a conference. So to go on a trip, to go on holiday, to go on a business trip, or to go on a journey. So yeah, I'm going on a trip to Birmingham next month for 4 days. So this new use of go with on is not strictly a phrasal verb, but try to remember the collocation of go on a trip or go on holiday. Try to remember it as a chunk, un trozo, a piece of language. A phrasal verb that is more of a strict phrasal verb with go is when someone's speaking and you want them to continue. You could say, go on, say what you're going to say, continue. Go on, seguir, continuar. Go on, Reza.
Okay.
Go on, another, continue.
Another meaning of go on is to physically continue.
Right.
It's like, imagine I stop and ask for directions and I say, am I near the train station? Yes, yes, just go on another 5 minutes down this road and you'll get there. Go on, continue.
Another common collocation with go on is to go on a diet, to begin a diet. I'm going on a diet after Christmas. Go away. Irse fuera. I'm going away for the weekend is number 4. And you're going away soon on holiday.
Yeah. What if you shouted at someone? Go away.
Get lost. Váyase. Lárgase. Go away. I'm busy.
People often confuse go away with go out, but they're not exactly the same. If I said to you, I'm going out for lunch or for dinner, or I'm going out for a beer, it's not the same as go away. It just means I'm not going to have my lunch at home. I'm going to have it in a restaurant. I'm going out for lunch.
So that's salir in Spanish.
Yes. But go away can also be salir. That's the problem when you translate them. I'm going away this weekend. Estoy saliendo de la ciudad. They can both be translated as salir. But go out is the idea of not here or not in this building. Whereas go away is the idea of traveling to another place.
Exactly. So you would go out to a restaurant, for example, or go out to the cinema. And a question could be, are you going out this weekend? Which means, are you doing anything? Are you seeing people? Are you going anywhere? Yes, I'm going out with friends.
Or what about, oh, it's very warm in this room. It's too warm. I think I'm going to go out for a minute. I need some fresh air. I need to go out. I need to not be here, to be somewhere else.
Number 6 on our list is a very common phrasal verb, to look forward to something. Tener muchas ganas de hacer algo, or esperar con ansia. What are you looking forward to? Well, I'm looking forward to Easter. I'm looking forward to going away. I'm looking forward to my birthday. Are you looking forward to anything, Reza?
Yes, I'm looking forward to visiting Becky in Cornwall again.
Another phrasal verb with look is look after. Number 7, another very common phrasal verb, cuidar de. A similar phrasal verb is to take care of. So to look after or take care of have very similar meanings. Have you ever looked after anyone's flat or house?
Yes, I have. I once looked after Martin, who did a recent episode with us. I once looked after his flat and looked after his cat at the same time.
So you did cat sitting.
I did, yeah.
I was interested because somebody was speaking about house sitting or flat sitting or cat sitting recently. And on the internet, I found two websites, one called mindmyhouse.com and another called trustedhousesitters.com. So on these websites, you can find houses and go and stay in them for no money. So you look after the house, or you look after the flat, or a pet, maybe a cat or a dog, and it's called dog sitting, cat sitting, house sitting, flat sitting. So this idea of looking after a place or an animal or taking care of, I think is a very good idea, because you could go anywhere in the world and you could travel around looking after people's flats and houses and see some of the world.
I think it's a brilliant idea to go and look after people's houses. But Craig, would you put your name on the list for people's houses to be looked after? Do you mind the complete stranger coming to look after your house? I would be happy to go and look after someone's house as a complete stranger, but I'm not sure I would want them looking after my house. What about you?
I think it depends. I think it's not necessarily a complete stranger these days, because with the internet, you can find out about people. You can have conversations with them on Skype before they come. You can exchange emails with them, get to know them a bit beforehand. So I think if I felt comfortable with the person, then yes, I would take a chance.
So you want to talk to them or have some communication?
Oh, absolutely.
First,
I'd want to know.
That's different.
I'd put their names in Google. I'd make sure they were who they say they are. And I think with the internet these days, you can really get to know someone, not 100%, but you can have a good idea of whether or not you can trust them, if they're trustworthy or not. Yeah. Number eight is look up, buscar. So going back to our discussion for number seven, I would look up the person on the internet. I would look up their name on Google.
Craig, is there any person that you really look up to?
Look up to, respetar, admirar. I look up to my dad. I respect him. I look up to some of my friends. I look up to you.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, I look up to you as the finest podcaster I've ever heard.
But that's not because I'm shorter than you, so you have to physically look up to me.
Craig is the podcaster that I most look up to in the world.
And Reza is the teacher I most look up to.
You've been badly taught in the past, Craig, then. That's all I can say.
Maybe the opposite. It could be the opposite of look up to is put up with.
Craig has to put up with a lot of nonsense from me.
Put up with means tolerar or aguantar. Yeah. For example, I can't put up with Reza any longer. He's getting on my nerves.
Yes, I often have this effect on people.
Tell me this, Reza. Do you have to put up with any noise where you live during the Fallas festival in Valencia?
Fallas is when they have firecrackers, petardos, and noise all over the place. And in my local neighborhood, Ruzafa, it's particularly noisy. There are a lot of falleros, people involved in fallas. And you have to put up with noise and smoke and the smell of gunpowder, pólvora, and the smell of buñuelos de calabaza, pumpkin donuts being cooked in the street.
The smell of the oil, the rancid smell of the old oil cooking these donuts.
And very, very bright illuminations in the street until 3 o'clock in the morning. Yes, you have to put up with a lot, but it's good fun at the same time. If you can put up with it, then what you get in return is worth it.
And sometimes during the podcast, when we're recording, we have to put up with noise from the neighbors, because it's common in Spain to live in a flat and I have neighbors above me, below me, on the left, on the right. Sometimes it's noisy. We have to put up with the noise. Reza and I would like to take a moment to thank our wonderful sponsor, iTalki. iTalki is a website where you can find a teacher to help you improve your English quickly, cheaply, and effectively. How does your English improve? Because you're learning one-to-one with a teacher that you choose and at a time that is convenient, or sea cómodo, for you. At first, I thought the English and American employees of iTalki would probably only speak English. Why would they need to speak another language, right? Well, Here's Ivan from iTalki.
In total, I speak 5 languages. I speak Russian, German, Ukrainian, English, and Chinese. If I could learn just one more language, it's hard to limit it to just one. But the next few languages that I do want to learn are Spanish, French, Esperanto, Japanese, and Korean. Which one I would choose out of those, it's very difficult to say.
iTalki, practicing what they preach. Why not try a personalized one-to-one test lesson with an experienced English teacher? iTalki are giving 100 iTalki credits, which is about one lesson, to each paying student that registers with them. To learn more about iTalki and this special offer, go to inglespodcast.com/iTalki. And Reza and I would like to say thank you to iTalki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Number 10, I have cheated. Estoy haciendo trampas because I have 4 phrasal verbs for the price of 1 with the verb to turn. So encender is to turn on the radio, turn on the computer, turn on the television. What's the opposite of turn on?
Turn off.
Easy.
Apagar.
Easy. Now, sometimes the volume is too high. If the volume is too high, if the music is too loud, you turn down.
Down.
Turn down the music.
To make it less.
And the opposite?
To turn up, to make it more.
And the same with the air conditioning. If it's too cold, you turn the air conditioning down. If it's too hot in the room, you turn up the air conditioning, or turn the air conditioning up. So turn on, turn off, turn up, turn down.
Craig, is there anyone who really turns you on?
That's another meaning. To turn someone on is to excite them sexually. Yes, many people.
Any famous actress, for example?
Oh, you know my favourite. You know who turns me on, Reza.
Who turns you on?
Keira Knightley.
Oh, she turns you on, yeah.
Which actress turns you on? You're going to say Halle Berry, aren't you?
Maybe yes, not. I do like Halle Berry.
She turns that me before.
On. And also Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer turns me on. She hasn't lost it. She's still got it.
Both of those actresses, when they played Catwoman.
That's Ooh, true. That's
both
true.
Of them, yeah.
Yeah. And they had a cat fight, which we mentioned in our last episode. Literally a cat fight because they're cat women.
Yeah. And turn on in this meaning can also be a noun. So you can say what a turn on they were in those films. Another meaning of turn down is rechazar. So you can turn down a job. You can turn down an offer. Have you turned any jobs down?
I haven't turned any jobs or anyone down, but funnily enough, I often insinuate things to pretty women that I meet, and they usually turn me down.
So you've been turned down by attractive ladies?
Yes, that means when you would like friendship or perhaps a bit more, and the person says no, they turn you down. That happens to me a lot.
Speaking of clothes, number 11, quitarse, quitar ropa, is to take off. What's the custom before you go into a Japanese home?
You have to take off your shoes.
Exactly. You take off your shoes. When you get home from work, you take off your coat. The opposite of take off for clothes?
Put on.
Put on. You can also put on weight. I've put on a lot of weight recently since Christmas. I haven't managed to take off the weight or lose the weight I put on during the Christmas period.
You'll have to go on a diet, Craig.
I will. And give up chocolates.
Once and for all.
Forever and ever and ever. Number 13 is apuntar, anotar, which can be put down on paper or write down. So again, remember these images of putting down on the paper. So the paper is below you and you're writing down on the paper.
Can't we just say write? What's the difference between write this and write this down?
Good question.
I would say that to write something down has the idea of writing it on a piece of paper immediately. Now. The act of physically writing is now. Which you could say with write, but not necessarily. You could say also, oh, I'll write it later. But if I say to you, no, 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 write it down. Right
so,
now.
So with down, there's this idea of immediacy.
Yeah. That paper, which is below you, as Craig said, write it on that right now.
And of course, it's not necessary for you to put down these phrasal verbs because you can find them all at inglespodcast.com/98. Number 14 is to find out. Descubrir. To discover. Do you know what I found out about Birmingham? It's the home to Cadbury's chocolate. Did you know that?
I did. Bourneville, to be exact, no?
Yep, which is a small town near to Birmingham. So on Wikipedia, it says that George and his brother, Richard Cadbury, moved their successful chocolate manufacturing business from Bull Street, Birmingham, to Bourneville in 1879, which means, having found out this fact, I'll be visiting the Cadbury's chocolate factory when I go to Birmingham and putting on a lot more weight.
You can check this on internet, but as far as I know...
Look it up, you mean?
Yes, look it up, check it out, look it up. Only quite recently, in the last 10 or 15 years, the Cadbury family sold their business to some big multinational, which was a pity because it had been in the family's hands for years. And they were known as model employers. They were extremely generous to their employees. They were revolutionary. They went out of their way to give their employees good housing, and they taught them because they were Quakers. And strangely enough,
Quakers?
Quakers.
I didn't know that.
A Quaker from the Association of Friends, or sorry, the Society of Friends. We call them Quakers. It's a sect within Christianity. And strangely enough, the other big chocolate company in Britain, Fry's, were also Quakers. So Craig's much beloved chocolate was dominated by Quakers in Britain for a couple of hundred years, strangely enough.
Very interesting fact. I didn't know that. Number 15 on our list is to get rid of. To get rid of. Deshacerse de.
Will you be getting rid of what I've just said when you edit this podcast?
It's possible.
Yes.
It's possible.
I think I suspect it.
Is there anything you'd like to get rid of in your flat? Any clothes that are too small? Any furniture you don't want?
Yes, most of it. I have to get rid of it. I'm afraid I can't give it away, which is a phrasal verb. I cannot donate it because no one will take it. It's so old and in such a bad condition that I just have to get rid of it, put it in the rubbish.
But if you get rid of something, is it always giving it away for free or throwing it away? Or can it be
either?
Also, if you sell it?
Could be either.
Could be either.
Whereas to give away specifically means to donate. Whereas get rid of could be to donate or put in the rubbish.
Or to, you could sell it.
Or sell it. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I'm getting rid of this sofa. I'm selling it. Don't like it anymore. 16 is to break up with. Romper con or separarse de. Some interesting facts. In 2015, famous celebrities Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner broke up. Britney Spears and Charlie Ebiso, who I've never heard of.
Me neither.
You know Charlie Ebiso?
Nope.
You know Britney Spears?
Part of her, yeah.
Well, they broke up last year. And also Gwen Stefani, who I've never heard of.
Me neither.
And Gavin Rossdale, who I've never heard of.
Me neither.
Also broke up. So I'm sure our younger listeners will know who they are. Break up. Again, try to remember the image of a very strong, solid couple, pareja, breaking. Just imagine that break between them. And to break up is the phrasal verb for romper. 17, carry on, seguir. Have you heard the expression keep calm and carry on?
Yes.
To continue?
Yes.
Do you know where it's from?
he's from the Second World War, but I don't know any more details than that.
You're absolutely right. It's from a motivational poster that was produced by the British government in 1939 in preparation for the Second World War. And although 2.45 million copies were printed, it was hardly ever displayed. It wasn't really seen by the public. However, in 2000, a copy was rediscovered and used as a marketing tool to market products and sell T-shirts, etc.
And now many people display it in their offices and houses, more than during the war.
You see it everywhere. You see it everywhere. And variations on the theme of keep calm and carry on. There's lots of different variations on that idea. There was a similar poster which was "Your courage, your cheerfulness, your resolution will bring us victory," which isn't quite as catchy. Not engancha tanto. It's not quite as catchy as keep calm and carry on.
Have you ever seen a Carry On film, Craig?
Oh yes, they're very popular films from the 60s in the UK. Comedy films, very slapstick with lots of sexual innuendos and double entendres.
So what type of thing happens? Can you take them very seriously?
No, they're like, there's a word in English which is spoof, S-P-O-O-F, which is just making jokes on a theme of some sort. So you could make jokes about, I don't know, the pyramids or Caesar or the Roman Empire. So they joke about periods in history very often.
And there was always a carry-on. How would you translate a carry-on?
Un lío.
Un lío, exactly.
Un lío.
They're called carry-on films because they're películas con un lío.
A lío, yeah.
Mucho lío.
Number 18, three more to go. Number 18 is to call back. Devolver la llamada. Call back or phone back. So you phone someone or you call someone, and if they're out or they're busy, then you have to phone them back. Devolver la llamada. Do you agree that call back is more American English and phone back is more British English?
Yes, I would say, yeah.
Again, try to make an image in your head of a telephone on somebody's back, in la espalda. So you're calling on their back. The telephone is on their back, and that's the particle you need for your phrasal verb. Number 19. Subirse, abordar, to get on a boat, for example, to get on a train, to get on a bicycle. What's the opposite?
To get off.
Yeah, get on, get off. Also, get on could mean llevarse bien. Do you get on with your sister? Do you get on with your boss? Now, be careful, because the first meaning of subirse or bajarse, get on, get off, does not apply to cars and taxis. You get in a taxi or a car, and you get out of a taxi or a car.
Craig, you can get on with a person.
Yeah? Yes.
Means to have a good relationship. And what does it mean if you get off with a person?
That means to have a sexual encounter with them.
Ligar, yeah?
Ligar, yeah.
Get off with someone.
Mm-hmm. And our final phrasal verb is to run out of, number 20. Quedarse sin or acabar. For example, Reza, I'm very, very sorry. We've run out of biscuits.
Oh, no, I love biscuits.
We have no more. I can't make you any tea. We've run out of milk.
Worse than that, Craig, I believe we've just run out of time.
We've run out of time. We have no more time this week. So with that wonderful use of a phrasal verb. So if you haven't put down these phrasal verbs on a piece of paper, you can find them all at inglespodcast.com/98. And we only have two more episodes to go. Well, one more episode before our 100th episode. So please send us your wins, how English has helped you in the past, and begin your message with "because of my English." Anything you can think of that has helped you because of your English. We would love to get your voice messages. which you can leave at speakpipe.com/Inglés podcast. One piece of advice, if you'd like to improve your phrasal verbs and remember them, there's a very useful app called Memrise, and you can find that at Memrise, memrise.com. Or you could use the old-fashioned way, just write them on cards, write the phrasal verb in English, write the phrasal verb in Spanish, mix them together upside down and try to match the phrasal verb in English with the phrasal verb in Spanish. And that will help your memory, help you to remember the phrasal verbs. On next week's episode, we'll be talking about the weather vocabulary. If you want to contact us by email, send us an email with a comment or question to me, Craig, at inglespodcast.com.
Or to me, Reza@belfastreza@gmail.com.
Thank you for listening, and until next time, it's goodbye from me.
And see you from me.
The music in this episode is from Pits. The track is called See You Later.